Today she is Masechta Baba Kama Daf Mem Vav. We are going to begin on Daf Mem Hei Yom Beis, five lines from the bottom. At the end of the previous year, we learned what Rav Adbar Hava taught us. We had actually learned this concept many times in the Masechta, that Rav Adbar teaches us that according to Rav Yehuda, Tzad Tammuz Mekaymei Medes, which means that given that Rabbi Yehuda taught us in the Mishnah that we learned yesterday, that a Tam requires a Shmira Ma'ula, a superior Shmira. A Mur, a Shmira Pchusa, an inferior Shmira, is adequate. However, Rav Adbar Hava said that the way to view a Mu'ud is a Tam plus. And therefore, on the half of Tam, on the Chatzi Nezek of Tam, the same dinim always apply, even when the animal becomes a mu'ud. And that will be pay migufai, and that will require a shmir ma'ula. It's the second half, the second chatzi nezek, that a mu'ud has to pay, that these rules apply to. That was Rav Adbar Bar Hava's explanation. We're going to learn now Gemara, where Rav says a halacha, which will result in Rav actually disagreeing with Rav Adbar Bar Hava. And Rav makes the following statement. Mu'ud l'keren yamin, if an animal is a mood for the right horn, ain't a mood the current small. It's not a mood for the left horn. And as the Rishonim explain, if an animal did damage with the right horn, but we don't know what it did with the left horn, this the Ravid says. Certainly it's going to be a full mood for either horn. What Al-Gamar is referring to a situation is where the animal, we've seen it do damage with the right horn, three times, at least, because it's a mu'ud. And with the left horn, we saw that it had the opportunity to do mu'ud on the left side, to do hezek with the left side, and it didn't. So it's only a mu'ud for the right side, not for the left side. There's also a question amongst the Rishayim. Taisu discusses it. The Gemara discusses a case where the animal is a mu'ud for the right side and not for the left side. The right side is usually the stronger side. Wa'al bin al-Locha, and therefore Rav teaches us, you could have a situation that it's mu'ud l'keren yamin ve'ena mu'ud l'keren smol. Is it possible to be a mu'ud l'keren smol ve'ena mu'ud l'keren yamin? Maybe it's only possible to be a mu'ud for your stronger side and not for your weaker side, but it's impossible to be a mu'ud for your weaker side and not be a mu'ud for your right, for your stronger side. But Rav makes this statement. Amri. So the question is, what was Rav trying to say? And as the Rishonim continue in helping us understand the Gemara, Rav's statement isn't to tell us that the side that's a mu'ud pays nezek shalim, the side that's a tam pays chatzi nezek. Because at this point, we should know that halacha already fairly well. Mu'ud pays nezek shalim, tam pays chatzi nezek. He must be speaking about another aspect. And that's what the Gemara's question is. I'll leave it to man. What's Rav trying to say? He, Eliezer Rameya, if he's trying to explain the opinion of Rameya, so what's the difference if it's a tam or a mu'ud? Ho'amr, as we learned in the previous year, Rameya's opinion is that echa tam vecha mu'ud, shmira mu'ulabai. It requires a strong shmira, so what's the difference if it's a tam and a mu'ud? He, Eliezer Rabbi Yehuda, and if you're going to suggest that he's trying to say it according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and he's saying that the left is a tam, and needs a shmira ma'ula, and the right is a mu'ud, and the shmira p'chus is adequate, that isn't true. My area can smile. It isn't only the Karen smile that's a tam, that's going to require shmira ma'ula. I feel the yamin, if we accept of Adabar Havis concept, the yamin also, nami isbeit sad tamis, visbeit sad mu'adis. We said that Rav Adbar Hava taught us that every mu'ud has in it some tam, and that part should require shmir mu'ula also. So what's the point of Rav's halacha? Amri, so explains the Gemara, lo'ilam k'Rav Yehuda. Rav agrees with the opinion of Yehuda that differentiates that a tam is all, needs a shmir mu'ula and a mu'ud shmir p'chus is enough. However, Rav doesn't agree with Rav Adbar Hava. But I swear later of Adbar Hava. Rav Adbar Hava says that a mu'ud, as we said at the beginning of the shir, as a tam plus, he holds kegavna hud mishkach betzad tamus umadis. This animal has one horn that's a mu'ud and one horn that's a tam. Av a mu'ud l'gamri, Rav will hold that if you have an animal that's a complete mu'ud, l'mishkach b'tzah tam's klal. A mu'ud is not a tam plus, a mu'ud is a new animal. It's a mu'ud. Why does Rav say this? The Rishonim explained because, as we learned at the previous shiur, the pasuk according to Rav Yehuda says, v'lo yishmerano, to tell us that a tam is different than a mu'ud. Included in that pasuk, according to Rav, is that a mu'ud is a new bria. It's a new creature. It's not a tam plus. Rav Lezer said that a mu'ud ain't l'shmira elasakin. The only thing you can do with a mu'ud is kill it. I'm a Rava. I'm a Rava. My tam to Rav Lezer. I'm a Krah. If you have not adequately washed this animal and it now has become a mu'ud, shuv ein l'shmir l'zeh, there is nothing you could do besides kill it. Amalei Abaya, ask Abaya, Elam Ata. The Torah uses similar word regarding a bar. That if you make a bar or you uncover a bar, the halachas of bar that we learned and will learn. So should we say that the Tosuk uses the word v'layichsana to teach us shuv ein l'kisa l'zeh, that if you've uncovered a bar, it will always be your responsibility. And even if you cover it, it won't exempt you if somebody else does uncovers it. The chita or gets uncovered by itself, says the Rav Chita, and if you'll say hachinami, that indeed once you uncover the bar, it always remains your responsibility. It always remains your bar. But tanan, we're going to learn a Mishnah, Daf Nun Beis, that clearly teaches us Kisol Kroy, if I uncovered a bar, but now I properly covered it, v'nafalatayach shara chamar, and then an animal falls into it, umeis and passes away, potter. So we see that even if you created the hezek, that doesn't mean that forever you're responsible. So why are we saying v'lo yishmerena means that you always, there's nothing you could do anymore with this mood other than killing it? Ela amar abaya hainu tam de Rabbi Eleza. What's the reason for Rabbi Eleza that ain't l'shmir ela b'saken? Ketanya. How do you know that I have a wild dog? You know I have a ladder that's not that you could fall on, Chas v'Shalom. That's the reason that this animal, Tzamud, you have nothing you could do with it other than killing it. So Rishonim asked the obvious question. If now we're saying that the reason you have to dispose, so to speak, of a mu'ud is because if the pasuk says v'lo yisasim damim beisecha, so why do we need a pasuk of v'lo yishmerena? We should just rely on the pasuk of v'lo yisasim damim beisecha. So I saw a number of answers in the Rishonim. One answer in the Rishonim is as follows. The pasuk of v'lo yisasim damim beisecha speaks about something which is an obvious danger. Kelev ra. Sulam Ru'ah. A mu'ud, albeit, is dangerous, but it's not to that degree. So the pasuk of Leisosim Dam Beisecha is not enough of a pasuk. We also have to back it up with the Lo Yishmerena. And then we go a step further, that a bar that was covered up is in general, is entirely not a hezek, and therefore it's no problem at all. That's one approach in the Rishonim. Another approach in the Rishonim is yes, to know that you have to dispose of a mu'ud, we could indeed learn from the pasuk of Leisosim Damim Beisecha. But that doesn't teach us that if you didn't, and it did hezek, that you're going to have to pay nezek shalom. The pasuk of Lo Yishmerena teaches us that then. Another teretz is that a shor could do damage either to a human being, or could do damage to another animal. The pasuk of Leisosim Damim Beisecha teaches us the halacha that you have to dispose of the mu'ud before it harms a human being. How do we know we also have to be concerned that it shouldn't harm another animal? That we learn from Lo Yishmerena. And this din of Lo Yisasim Damim Beisecha is a rule that we really ought to keep in mind all of the time in our lives. Just two halach lemaisis that I saw with Lo Yisasim Damim Beisecha comes. The Michas Yitzchak says that, besides that it's illegal, you shouldn't park your car on the sidewalk. Because if you park your car on the sidewalk, if somebody's going to want to walk on the sidewalk, he's not going to be able to walk. The car is blocking. What's he likely to do? He's going to walk in the street, which is dangerous because there are cars driving there. Like Sasan Davin Beisecha, you're not allowed to cause person to be dangerous, do something that they could be in danger. Another point that the Pais can make, and I'm obviously not going to go into the discussion about smoking, but besides the isser of smoking, one smoking themselves, shmat moed l'nafshe seichem, smoking, and we know that it's been proven that secondhand smoke also could be dangerous. So when somebody smokes in the presence of other individuals who could get sick or chas v'shalom be affected by the effects of smoke, he's being overloaded, sasum damim beisecha, by creating such an environment when you're smoking around other people who obviously don't want to be hurt. Harun lachshar shenagach abu v'chamisha. Harun lachshar shenagach abu v'chamisha. Harun lachshar shenagach abu v'chamisha. Says the Mishnah, shar shenagach hasaporo. A shar killed a cow. V'nimtza uber betzidai, and this cow was pregnant. Then you do, but we don't know. Im achloi nachi yolda, it miscarried the babies. But the question is, when did this miscarriage take place? Didn't take place prior to the Negicha, and therefore the shar that did the Negicha will not be held responsible. Or did the miscarriage take place because of the shar? And then the mazik is responsible for the value of the fetuses. The aloch is, and we're talking about a tam, obviously, for the cow that was killed by the shar, you certainly have to pay chatzi nezik. Ravi Nezik Levlad. And we'll discuss why Ravi Nezik Levlad at length in tomorrow's Shir, Mr. Shem. The Mefarshim explained, the Yeshua says this, that our Mishnah is referring to a situation, where there are Edim that saw this Shor being Mazik the Parah, but they weren't close enough to know did this cow miscarry out of fear of the approaching shor, and that would only be a grumma benizakin, which the mazik is not chai for, or did it abort because the shor actually, as a result of the attack of the shor, which would be a real act of hezek. So, as the Mefarshim explained, Kivega says this, the Mashal says this, it's not a situation of a moide beknas, because I do have edim. But because the Edom can't give us all of the details, we have this suffix. Teaches us the Mishnah, and what about the other way around? Parash nachas ashar. A cow, a pregnant cow, attacked the shar. The nymphs of Lada Betzida. And then we find the child next to the cow. And the Taisus Yanta points out, in the beginning of the Mishnah uses the word ubra. Here the Mishnah uses the word Vlada. Why does the Mishnah change its wording? He says, because the Mishnah at the beginning is talking about a dead child. A dead fetus is called an ubra. A live fetus, a live child, is called a vlad. And now, as we're going again to learn in tomorrow's Shir Mitzvashem, the child that's in the womb of its mother is considered part, is considered also mazik. And the question is, when we're trying to collect damages, do we collect from the vlad or not? Do we say that the vlad was in the mother's womb when the hezek took place, and therefore it's also responsible or participated or not? Any do im achloi nachi yolda, where is this child born prior to the maisa hezek? Im shenachi yolda. As again, mishtam nesach hezek in the parah. The parah certainly was involved, so chatzi nezek out of the parah is taken. Ravi nezek min avlad, we'll explain this again in Mitzvah Shema tomorrow's shir. Amar v'yudah mishmul, zu devir simchus. The opinion that we just learned in the Mishnah is Simchus' opinion. Whenever we have a question about Mammon, we divide it right down the middle. And it's important to put in Simchus' opinion of Mammon and Mutba Safik Chalkim into context. The Rishonim, starting with Tosfos, say that we have to understand that when Simchus says Mammon and Mutba Safik Chalkim, doesn't mean that any time we have a Shaila over a financial issue, we just compromise 50-50. And it makes a lot of sense, because otherwise it would be a crazy world that we would live in, because I could become a very wealthy man fairly quickly. I could go over to you and tell you, you owe me $1 million. And you'll say, I don't owe you $1 million. Okay, so Mammon and Mutba Safik, we have a Shaila, Chalkim, give me $500,000. So obviously, says Tosfos, that's not what Simchus meant.
What Simchas means, says Taisus, is where the question that's in front of Beis Din is a question that is a legitimate question without this Din Torah. In other words, if we use the examples of our Mishnah, where our Mishnah cited two situations where there's a legitimate suffix, that suffix is not because you and I are having a Din Torah. There's a suffix exactly what happened. Obviously, it has an effect on what the Mazik owes the Nizik, what the Nizik can ask from the Mazik. But the Din Torah, the question, is a question, what happened? Then and only then does Simchas say, Momen HaMut B'Safek Cholkim. And the Rishonim explain this even further. Let's say there's a question in Din. The Dayanim have a question, what is the Halacha? Again, say the Rishonim, even Simchas will agree that we don't say Momen HaMut B'Safek Cholkim. Because that's not what it's all about. It's only said when there's a question, what happened? Aval Chachamim, the Chacham disagree. They disagree with this concept of Mamana Mutu B'Safek. They say, Zeh Klal Gadol, there's a rule, Zeh Klal Gadol B'Din, HaMotzei M'Chaveiro Alav Haraya. If you want to collect money, you have to be able to prove it. And we begin now, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, the Sugya of Motzei M'Chaveiro Alav Haraya. It's worth beginning the sugya with a nice chassidish of art from the Yitav Leiv. He says, what is HaMotz Mechaver Olav Haraya? He says, when somebody comes to speak, to say a drasha, to give musr, HaMotz Mechaver, he's demanding from people that they act in a certain way, is Olav Haraya. He has to show by example. You can't expect other people to react to what you're saying unless you're not there yourself. If you want to ask other people to act in a certain way, all of Haraya, you have to set the example. Ask the Gemara. When the Bryce suggests quoted the Chachamim's opinion, he said, Zeklah Godel. Usually we don't have these kind of introductory remarks. Ask the Gemara, Lamali Lamayim Zeklah Godel Bedin. Why do we have to have these introductory remarks? Answers the Gemara, Itzrich. Tefil Nizek Amabari. Even in a situation where the Nizik is saying, I am sure that the Vlad participated in this Maisa Hezek. Well, Mazik says, I don't know. Mazik am Shemer. Still, we apply the concept, Havamotz B'Chaveroi Olav Haraya. Ask Toysis, does that mean that we're not going to agree with the concept of Bari V'Shemer, Bari Adif? Throughout Shas, Da'aloch is Bari V'Shemer, Bari Adif. Why don't we apply it over here? Answers Tosis, certainly, in a case where I approach you and I say you owe me money, and you say, you know what, I don't know. So it's a Bari V'Shema. Why don't you know? You should know. And therefore, you'd have to pay me. Here, we're referring to a situation where you can't expect the Nizik to really know what happened. Does the Nizik have to stand next to his animal and know when and how the act When the baby was born, when the baby wasn't born? And does the Mazik really have a way of knowing exactly what happened? So as Taisa says, it's a weak Bari V'Shema. That's when the Gemara is saying we don't subscribe to the concept of Bari V'Shema, Bari Adif. But when it's a strong Bari V'Shema, of course the Halacha is Bari V'Shema, Bari Adif. Inami, another reason why the Gemara had to make the statement of Zeh Klal Gadol B'Din, it refers to the following situation. I sell you an axe, and this animal is a mood to do damage. So Rav Amar raised a mekachtos. You could claim it's a mekachtos. Why? Because an animal that's a mood, this is very much connected to the Gemara that we learned at the end of the previous parak, an animal that's a mood, you're not going to want to keep, because it only could cause you a lot of liability. So what do you want? What's the really only option you could do with this animal? Shecht it. But you're saying, I didn't buy an animal to shecht it. I bought an animal to use it in my farm, to plow. And therefore, according to Rav, you have a right to say, it's a mekachtos. And again, we have a machloikas. I've quoted this machloikas previously. According to the Marik mekachtos, the deal is void. You take back the shor, you take back the money. According to Machna Ephraim, it's not to void the deal necessarily, but you have to pay the difference. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, no. Yochel Shiyomer, the seller could say, I sold you this animal with the assumption that you're going to use it for meat, and therefore there's no mekechtos. Ask the Gemara, Amai, why do we have this question? We have a very simple way of determining really what happened here. Nechse, let's look at this customer. E gazben gaver de zaven l'ridya. If it's a person that has a farm, and therefore it's very likely that he's buying animals for the farm, so then we should trust him. We should accept what he says. If, on the other hand, e gaver de zaven nechsecha, if he's a person that doesn't own a farm, so all of a sudden he's going to come and say, I bought this animal for plowing. What are you plowing? You don't even own a farm. We shouldn't accept what he says. Answers the Gemara. Like Tzricha, we're referring to an individual, the Gavad is Avon Laha Laha. He eats meat, but he also has a farm. See, he's a butcher and he's a farmer. He has two businesses. So again, ask the Gemara. We still have a way of determining really what happened here. The Nechsi, Idame Ridja L'Ridja, Idame Nechsa L'Nechsa. Let's see, we should be able to tell what really happened based on the price. That animals that are sold for plowing are more expensive typically than animals that are sold for eating. So let's see what the price was. Was it a plowing price? Was it an eating price? Answers the Gemara. The price of meat went up. And therefore, we can't base our determination on pricing. So it's interesting. The Gemara here goes into another point. But the Gemara Masechta Bava Basra asks the obvious question. If the price is the same, so what's the din Torah? If the price, notice the buyer is saying, I took a loss here. What's the loss? It's the same price. So the Gemara Masechta Bava Basra asks that question. And the Gemara Masechta Bava Basra answers, of course there's no financial issue here. Because we're saying the price for this and for that is the same. The machlokes between the buyer and the seller is who should have the headache of having to sell the animal. The buyer says, this wasn't what I was looking for. Take back your animal, give me back my money, and you can sell it, no problem. And the seller is saying, you want an animal to plow? No problem. Go sell this animal and buy yourself another behemoth. Comments to Gemara. Amri. V'i lek l'shtalumim minei. If we're referring to a situation where let's say the buyer is right, and the buyer is telling the seller, I want my money back, but the seller has no other money. He doesn't have any cash. So the Gemara says that if the buyer wants his money back from the seller, but the seller has no cash available, so the Gemara gives us some very practical advice. Don't tell him, you know what, take back the animal, and when you'll have money, you'll give me. Why? Damri inchi mimari rishoscha pari ephra. If somebody owes you money and he has bran, which is the cheapest, take the bran, what you have, in Yiddish they say, what's a zikr is zikr, what's for sure is for sure. Maybe you don't want to have this animal, or like we explained a minute ago, you don't want the bother of selling the animal. But it's better to have the animal than to have a debt, because you don't know if you'll ever be able to collect the debt. Says the Gemara, what is the circumstance that we have Rab and Shmuel's machlokes? Lo'tzricha, dikulish talumimineh. The seller has cash. Now the question is, can the buyer say it was a mekachtos or not? Rav Amar, I raise a mekachtos. The buyer can indeed say it was a mekachtos. Because zir basaruba, we look at roiv, and roiv the inchi, most people when they buy an animal, at least in those times, luridu the zavni, buy it for plowing, and he could claim it was a mekachtos. Bishmu Amar, yachl shiomer, no. The seller has a right to say it, l'shchitu mechatev loch, and we don't follow the roif. The lawyer is lina basa roif. Because says Shmuel, ki is lina basa ruba, when do we follow the roif? Be sura. The African situation of Issa Veheter. Av b'mayna, lawyer is lina basa roif. We don't follow roif. Ela, hamaitz mechaver olav haraya. This is what the Bryce Cement says the Gemara, when we began with the word zekla godl. That in this case, hamaitz mechaver olav haraya. So as we understand the concept of Amaitz Mechaveir Olav Araya, and Shmuel saying we don't follow Roiv, it's somewhat difficult to understand. One question that the Rishonim pose is that we follow Roiv to kill a person. That means, let's say we have a Din Torah, where somebody's accused to be a murderer, and the Bezdin takes a vote, and the vote is that he is indeed was a Ritzayach, we kill him. So we'll kill a person based on a Rav. But we won't take Mammon based on a Rav? That's one question. Another question is, Hamaitz Mechaveira Olav Haraya is very fine and well. But you know what? Let's say I come to you and I say you owe me money. And the halacha, as Al Gemara is teaching us, and we know that is indeed the din, is Hamaitz Mechaveira Olav Haraya, if I can't prove it, you don't have to pay it. But isn't it a question of ganef? You don't want to be a ganef. You don't want to be a gazlan. You don't want to hold money that's not yours. So what about that problem that the Gemara seems to be ignoring? So there's two approaches that I saw in the Mefarshim how to deal with this. One approach, a very interesting approach, is a simple approach. That Rav, we're so used to, maybe it's part of our culture, we're so used to understanding Rav as that's the way it's supposed to be. You always follow the majority. Rav is not something that's natural. Rav is a din. Rav is a din that the Torah was mechadish, no different than any other din that the Torah says. That comes with certain conditions. Where we apply Rav and where we don't apply Rav. And therefore, by dinin nefashis, the Torah tells us, achar rabim lahatis, you follow the Rav. By dinin mamonis, the Torah doesn't tell us to follow Rav. That's one approach. Another approach that I saw from Shimon Shkop, very interesting approach. He says there's a very fundamental difference between dinin nefashis and dinin mamonis. Dinin nefashis are governed by the rules of the Torah. How a bezdin is supposed to pass in a shayla, how we approach any situation, nisiv v'heter, the Torah, the Shulchan Aruch, gives us the rules and regulations. Dinin mamonis are different. Dinin mamonis are based on haskama, the words he uses are haskamas b'nei adam, how people accept how business, how commerce is conducted. What's the best raya? The best raya, as we've spoken many, many times, Baruch Hashem, about kinyonim. A transaction can't take place without a kinyon. What is considered a kinyon? A kinyon is what people consider a kinyon. So if in the world we live in, for example, a handshake is considered a deal, we don't find anywhere that the Gemara speaks about a handshake. But certainly it's 100% a kinyon, if that's the minig b'nei adam. Because all of dinei mamonis, he says, are based on askamas b'nei adam. And askamas b'nei adam, says Rav Shimon, is that the only time I could collect money from you is if I could prove that you owe me the money. And if I can't prove that I owe you the money, it's not that, so then I don't have proof. Then you don't owe me the money. And you're not a ganef if you're holding that money. Because if I can't prove it, you don't own it. Where would be a gevaldige nafkamina? A gevaldige nafkamina is, we know, in Hilchus Rav, there are two types of Rav. There's what's known as Ruba de Isa Kamon, and we have something known as Ruba de Lesa Kamon. Ruba de Isa Kamon is the regular Rav. We spoke about it just the other day. There are 10 butcher shops in a community. 9 are kosher, 1 is treif. That's a Ruba de Isa Kamon. A Bezdin, like we just spoke about, takes a vote. That's a Ruba de Isa Kamon. A Ruba de Lesa Kamon is that there's no vote. The Gemara Masechet Yevamos speaks about a case where a cotton, or somebody did Yibam with a woman, but we know that Yibam with an islandess is not a valid Yibam. So the Gemara says, why aren't we concerned that maybe this wife of the husband that died is an islandess? So the Gemara says most women are not islandess. Or why aren't we concerned, says the Gemara, that the brother who did Yibam is a Saris, and the Yibam done by a Saris, by somebody who's sterile, isn't a valid Yibam? Again, because most people are not Sarisim. That's a Ruby the Leisa, come on. So there's a Machloikas HaAchroinim, and when Shmuel says this din, that by Mammon we don't follow the Rav, does he say it by both types of Rav, only by one type of Rav? There's really three opinions. One opinion is that Shmuel says it by every type of Rav. Another opinion is that he only says it by Ruba de Isa Kamon. And another opinion is that he says it by only by Ruba de Leisa Kamon. What is the machloikas based on? How we approach the concept of Rav. If we approach it like Rav Shimon said, that it's based on Haskamas B'nai Adam, And Askomas Bnei Adam, people understand that I can't collect money from you unless I have non-questionable proof. Doesn't make a difference what kind of roiv it is. You can't rely on roiv. If, on the other hand, we're going to say, like the other pshat, that it's based on halacha, that the halacha says, by issa we do rely on roiv, by mum we don't rely on roiv, that could be not all roivs are treated the same way. Tanya nami hachi, says the Gemara further. Shor shenaga chesaporo, the case that we learned in our Mishnah. Shor shenaga chesaporo v'nimtz uber b'tzida. And we don't know the circumstances. Exactly when did this take place? The loch is Mishalm Chatzi Nezek Lepara, Verviyah Nezek Levad. That's the very Sumchus. Because according to Sumchus, we have a Sufik, a Mumin, a Mutu, a Sufik, Chalkim. However, the Chacham Roimrim, Hamaitz Mechaveroi, all of Haraya. Omra Shmuba Nachmeni, Minayin, Lamaitz Mechaveroi, all of Haraya. How do we know this concept? Says Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni, Shinem, the Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mi bal dvorim yagish aleihem. Moshe Rabbeinu, as he's about to go up to Har Sinai to receive the Torah, tells the Klal Yisrael, so we know Moshe Rabbeinu took care of all the Dinei Torah, but Moshe Rabbeinu is not going to be here. So he left over Aaron and Chor. So it says, whoever has a Din Torah should go to Aaron and Chor. What does that mean? Yagish araya aleihem. If anybody has a question, if anybody has a din Torah, they should bring a raya to Aaron and Chor. So I saw two very nice pshatim. Why Moshe Rabbeinu had to say this right now as he's going up to Har Sinai? In other words, if this concept of Moshe Mechaver all of a raya, which we're discussing, is such a strong concept, why did Moshe Rabbeinu choose to say it right now? One pshat I saw, is because Moshe Rabbeinu never had a shayla. Moshe Rabbeinu had a Uruach HaKodesh. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew that if you and I had a Din Torah, who was right and who was wrong. But that's Moshe Rabbeinu. But now Moshe Rabbeinu is going up to Shemayim. So it's going to be regular people, Aaron and Chur, who are going to be taking the care of Din Torah. They can't rely on that Ruach HaKodesh. So that's why he says, Yagash Aleihem HaMetz Mechaveir Olav Araya. But then I saw another very nice word, very, very nice word. The Bali Musa say this word. Moshe Rabbeinu knew he's not going to be here for 40 days. And you know what happens when the president goes away, when the leader goes away? Everybody tries to make changes. And they're going to say, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu would have wanted. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, HaMotzi Mechaveroi, if you're going to want to make any changes from what I did, all of Haraya, you have to prove that that's what I wanted. Just saying we're sure that that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. We could imagine that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. No. All of Haraya. Unless you could prove it, it's not good enough. Maskel Ravashi, ask Ravashi, why do we need a pasuk to teach us Hamotzi Mechaveroi all of Haraya? Svaruhu, isn't Hamotzi Mechaveroi all of Haraya obvious logically? Don't we know the Kav Leikiva? If somebody has a pain, a toothache, whatever, something hurts them, you go to the doctor. So here too, if I want you to give me something that I say you owe me, you have to prove it. So I saw that the Mefarshim make an interesting observation based on this Gemara. The Mefarshim make an observation, so it is a Svara. It's a good Svara. It's an obvious Svara. So what? So does that mean that we shouldn't have a Pasuk? So the Mefarshim say from here we see the power of a Svara. That when we have a strong Svara, it's stronger than a Pasuk. And therefore the Gemara legitimately asks, if I have a Svara, why do I need a Pasuk? Furthermore, from here the Paiskim say, and this is the halacha, Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, that Holchan Achra Nitva, that if a Taveya, if I have a claim to you, so I live here, you live somewhere else, where do we have the Din Torah? The Din Torah is Holchan Achra Nitva, the one that has a claim has to go to the one that he has a claim to, and that's why the halacha and Shulchan Aruch is, that Holchan Achra Nitva. Ella, what is the Pasuk coming to teach us? Says the Gemara, first we're going to explain the Gemara like Rashi explains it. Rashi explains the Gemara as follows. I say you owe me money. And you say, fine. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. But you know, I left you a mashkin. Or you owe me money, you didn't return the collateral, or any other claim. The halacha is that first we take care. I have it in Torah. You owe me money. Let's take care of that in Torah. Afterwards, you'll come and we'll have another din Torah. But we have to go. If I come to you with a claim, you can't say, yes, maybe I owe you the money, but one at a time, and my claim has to be dealt with first. Amin Adoy, however, makes an Adoy the following comment. Pamim shenizgakim l'nitzvah t'chila. Sometimes, even though I have a claim to you, and you have a counterclaim to me, there, even though, as the Gemara just said, we deal with my claim first, certain times the halacha says we should deal with your claim first. Hechi dami, the kazila nichsei. Rashi says two pshatim. One pshat is, as I said, I'm coming to claim that you owe me money. And you say, yes, but the mashkin that I left with you, you ruined. If it's a circumstance, Rashi says, one pshat, where the mashkin is depreciating every day, and if we're going to follow the order the Gemara tells us, that if we follow the order that the Gemara tells us, that first we're going to do my din Torah, and then we're going to do your din Torah, by the time we get around to your din Torah, your mashkin keeps on depreciating. There we could do your mashkin, your din Torah first. One pshat. Another pshat that Rashi says is neskakel teveya techila, that we go to the nitfa techila, means as follows. If people know that there's a claim against you, that I have a claim against you, it puts you in a bad position regarding your business deals. If you're going to want to sell a piece of property, a house that you own, people are going to feel that they could pressure you to sell it for less, because they know that you may be strapped for money because you have a din Torah coming up with me. And therefore, to take off that pressure and to show that you're in fine financial shape, we could do your din Torah first. This is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. There are other pshatim in the Gemara. One pshat is neskakel teveya techila, means as follows. Let's say I know that you have a claim against me, but you haven't chosen to take that, to bring that din Torah, for whatever reason. But I'm a person that doesn't want to have any pressure and doesn't want to have anything hanging over my head. So I go to Bezdin and I say, you know, Reuven has a din Torah against me. Let's do the din Torah. Let's Bezdin summon him to din Torah and let's get over with it. Until you bring the din Torah, Bezdin cannot force you to initiate a din Torah, unless there's a financial issue that could force that, that I'm in a bad position because of it. Another pshat, in the Skakim L'Tvei Techila, all of these are halach l'maisa, is when an actual din Torah is being conducted, and who has to first bring Edim, the Toveya or the Nitva? The Skakim L'Tvei Techila is that the Toveya first has to bring his Edim and make his claim, and only then does the Nitva bring his Edim to respond to the claim.